All right. Title of today's message is How to Change the World. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, speak to our hearts and challenge us to become all that we can be. In Jesus' name, amen. Nelson, you can go ahead and do what you asked me, should we do? All right. We are finishing up our series, no, Nelson, with the fans. We are finishing up our series, Moving Things to the Next Level. We started out by looking at how to kill a church. Y'all remember how to kill the church? We moved on to how to heal the church. We looked last week at how to build the church. And today we are going to look at how to change the world. You see, our lives are not to be focused ultimately on what takes place in the church, but ultimately we need to be looking outside the church, because the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So since God has the focus out there on reaching the world, ultimately that's where our focus is going to need to be as well, in reaching people for Christ. How many of you know God has called you to make a difference in this world? He really has. All right. And I want you to know that every one of you here this morning is significant. Tell your neighbor, you are significant. All right, don't let it go to your head, but you are significant. And you're significant not because of your education, not because of your checkbook, not because of your family, not because of what church you belong to. You are significant because God loves you and God has chosen to use you. Okay, that is what makes you significant. All right, you don't have to go out and do anything else. You are significant. Now, if you back in 1935 had a brand new mint condition 1935 T-Model Ford or whatever, it would have been worth something, but it wouldn't have been worth a lot. And the reason is, back in 1935, there were a whole lot of brand new mint 1935 T-Model Fords. But if you had that same car today, all of a sudden it's worth a whole lot of money. Why? Because there are so few of them. When it comes to paintings, it's funny how an artist has to die for the price of his pictures to go up in value. Why does that happen it that way? Because once that person dies, there won't be any more paintings coming from that person. So there is a limited number. And once you have a limited number, the value goes up. The same is true with coins. If there's only one or two of a coin left, that thing is worth a lot of money. Now think about it with you. There's almost 7 billion people on this planet. There is not a single one of them that's just like you. Some of y'all say, thank God there ain't another another one of you out there anywhere. But there's there's only one of you now, and when you are gone, there will never, ever be another one of you again, especially with your unique characteristics, your unique abilities. Now, how we change this world is going to depend on how we choose to use our unique talents and abilities. Okay, you can be really gifted, but if you don't do anything with those gifts, it's really not helping anybody. You can go through life in one of two ways. Well, actually, there's three of them. I'm going to look at two of them this morning. One of them is you do just enough to get by. When it comes time to handing out the syllabus, you don't look to see what's required to get an A. you look to see what's required to get a C minus. When it comes to doing jobs, you don't want to know how long you have to work. You want to know how quick can you leave. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about with people like that, doing just enough to get by. Now, the other kind of person is the person who just does average. Okay, you just average. And then there's the person who does above and beyond what's asked. This person does what's asked and then some. This person is going to be blessed in a way these other people are not. Because anytime we don't go that extra, we lose out on something that could have come into our lives, and we don't even recognize sometimes that we have lost out on it. Now, some of us, we know we are smarter than what our report card said we was. How many of you are actually smarter than the grades you got in high school? You're actually smarter than that. Praise God. And the reason you didn't get what you could have got then was you just did not apply yourself. You didn't say, what do I need to do to be an above and then some kind of a person? Now, the Bible has a lot to say about folks who are just plain lazy. It says, don't be among those people. Okay, here's the difference between the person who is the lazy one and the one who does the and then some. You tell a lazy person to vacuum, and what do they do? Sitting down eating popcorn. Did I ask you to vacuum? Yeah, I did it. What about over here? Why that's still there? Why that still? I already vacuumed. Why you being so picky? The and then some person, you tell them to vacuum, and what do? They vacuum. They move the chairs, vacuum underneath there. They then, when they finish vacuuming, they straighten up the furniture. They put the pillows in place. And when you see they work, you know somebody has really been here. And then here go the funny part. The lazy person can't understand why you want to do something extra for the and then some person. That ain't gonna not treating everybody fairly. You on your job complaining about how they treat them other folks better than you. And you know you're about as lazy as you can be on the job. I went through a checkout line the other day, and this young girl, she's at the cash register, and she's talking the whole time to her friends over around me. Never once looked at me, never once said anything to me. She, I'm like, this child need to be fired yesterday. Because you're losing business for your employers. That's called being lazy. Thank God there ain't no lazy people here this morning. And then some kind of mechanic. When you go to that mechanic to get your oil changed, he not only changes your oil, he checks your transmission fluid, he checks the pressure in your tires, he checks your antifreeze, and he says, nah, I just did that for free. I wanted to make sure everything was all right. Now, don't you know the next time you got to go looking for somebody to fix on your car, where you going to go? Sometimes we don't know when we are hurting ourselves by just trying to get by. Jesus challenged us to change the world by using shock treatment. Now, for those of you who were paying attention during the New Testament reading And some of them things Jesus was saying, and you would say, they better not slap me on my left cheek. I'm going to knock them out. They better not ask me for any money, because I'm definitely going to get my money back. Okay, all them things Jesus was saying, now, do this when they do that to you, and do this when they do that to you. He was saying, become and then some kind of a person. Do more than what is expected of you. Go ahead and shock them with your behavior. Because you never know when something simple is really not just that simple. Now, Abraham, in our Old Testament reading, Abraham, God had called Abraham out of this country, and he says, Abraham, leave this country, go to this one, to the land that I'm going to show you. And he told Abraham he was going to give him a son and he's going to bless him and everything. Well, that was about 35, 40 years ago. And now Abraham does have a son, and he realizes he doesn't have a whole lot of time to live. And so he wants to get a wife for his son. But he doesn't want a wife from the people where he lived, because they were not living for God. He said to his servant, I want you to go back to the country I came from and find a wife and bring her here for my son. So when this servant gets ready to go looking for this woman, he doesn't know that he's on a mission to change the world. He thinks all he's gonna do is go find a wife for his master son, Isaac. Now, they didn't have limousines back then. You either got on a camel or a donkey to go where it is you had to go. And he had a long trip in a hot desert. And he could have said, he ain't gonna know if I went all the way to his country or not. All I need to do is to find a woman who will come back with me. Now, you lovely single women out there, how many of you would be enticed if a man came up to you and said, look, my master has a good-looking son who is extremely rich, and I need to find a wife for him. How many of you are almost interested? Yeah, so he could have paid one of y'all, and yeah, I'm from that country, yeah. Where is he? Where is the ring? But if he had done that, we never would have got Esau and Jacob. We never would have got the 12 tribes of Israel. We never would have got David, which means we never would have got Jesus, which means none of us would be sitting in here today. So all because of this servant choosing to go above and beyond in looking for his master, we're all sitting here today. He didn't know that that decision he was making was a life-changing decision for him. Now, when he goes and he's looking and he's like, Lord, I don't know one woman from another. I don't know which one is going to be a good one and which one is going to be a bad one. Tell you what, Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. When I get there, I'm going to go up to all the young ladies that I see, and I'm going to ask, please give me a drink. And the first one that says, you can have a drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too, let that be the one that you have chosen. Okay? And so that's what he's doing. Now, do you know why he said that? He did not want to take home a lazy woman. He did not want to take home a lazy person. Because whoever would say, I'll water your camels too, was somebody that didn't mind doing extra work. So he comes and he gets to this village where Abraham was from, and he sees this beautiful young girl. She's a virgin, and she just went down to the stream and filled up her jar, and she puts this big jar on her head, and she's walking away from the stream, and he walks up to her, and he says, please, ma'am, could you just give me a drink of your water? And she says, sure, I'll give you a drink. And she takes that big jar off her head, and she pours it so that he can get some water, and she says, and not only that, I'll water your camels too. Now, she didn't have to say that. She didn't have to do that. She thought what she was doing was giving a stranger a drink. What she really was doing was lining herself up in God's plan for her life. Now, for those of you who've been here before, you've heard me tell this story before, but for those of you who are new, let me tell you about our own Pastor Toby. Pastor Toby was a student at Notre Dame College. She ran out of money. She had all of her bags packed to go home. The day she was supposed to leave, Pastor Toby is walking on campus. She runs into this gentleman who looks to her like he's lost. She walks up and she says, sir, you look like you're lost. Tell me where you're going and I will take you there myself. And so he does, and she takes him to this building and she says goodbye to him, and she goes back to continue to get her stuff to leave. And that man goes to the president of Notre Dame College and asks, who was that young lady that brought me to the office? Tell me something about her. And the president says, that's Toby. Today is her last day of school because she has run out of money. He said, this school cannot afford to lose a young lady like that. You go and tell her, if she stays, I will pay all of her expenses for the next 2 years. Now, you think Pastor Toby shouts now? When the president of the college told her, and the guy said, don't let her know who I am. So she didn't even know who it was that was doing this when the president called her in and said, Toby, do you remember that gentleman that you brought to the office? And she's like, oh yeah, you know. To her, it was just a passing thought. But because she was willing to go above and beyond, she put herself in alignment with what God was getting ready to do. Now, some of us, we would have said, look at that fool over there. Look like he lost. Some of us, we would have walked by and said, hi, and kept going. Some of us would have said, you're looking a little like you lost. Where you going? You see that building over there? If you just follow this line down here and go around there and make a left at that other building, you ought to see where you want to be. Very few of us would have just taken those extra 5 minutes and had our lives changed. Now, you say, well, I wouldn't have mind filling up those camels. Yeah, because all you had to do was turn the faucet on. Rebecca didn't have a faucet to turn on. She had to take that jug, go to that stream, bring the water, pour it into the trough. This guy, a camel can drink between 10 to 20 gallons of water. This guy had 10 camels, which means it took her an hour and a half to 2 hours to keep making that trip back and forth to fill up that trough. How many of y'all would have said, Look, buddy, I got something else to do. Rebecca was willing to do above and beyond what was asked. You see, most of us are wired to get the maximum benefit from the minimum amount of work or effort. You know, when we do per capita, remember how when at the beginning of the year around February or March, and we list all y'all who haven't paid your per capita, there's still about 20 of you who haven't, and I said, if you pay something on your per capita, you won't have your name listed under the section not paid. You know what some of y'all did? Some of y'all paid $1 on your per capita to keep your name from showing up in the list and never paid on it again. Now, why do we do stuff like that? Okay? Now, we know too that if you died or somebody in your family died, you want us to treat you with the same treatment we give to everybody else. You want the sanctuary full. You want the choir to sing. You want the deacons to prepare the meal. You want first class service for a dollar. And if we said we're not gonna do it for you, what kind of church is this? I've been going to this church for 15 years. I know. Now, where else can you go and join a team or a club or whatever and not pay your dues and still get service? They will throw you out of there in a hurry. Not only that, you're smart enough not to even go down there and try to ask. I tell you, y'all got to pray for me, because if I run into one more member who hasn't been here in 5 years, who got their cell phone that's more expensive than mine, they got a job and everything, and they introduced me to their friend. This Pastor Rick, he's my pastor. I am going to embarrass them something silly. Where have you been? Where has your offering been? How can you call me your pastor that ain't seen you and heard from you in 6 years? I'd be hungry if the rest of the church acted like you did. So please pray for me. Praise God. Now, Rebecca was putting herself in alignment with God's will. And sometimes God wants to see if we are willing to volunteer before he gives us positions of authority. You see, we may be praying for a job. Lord, I just need the job. I just need this job. And God said, I want you to volunteer over here to do that. I don't know about all that. You already said you wasn't doing nothing all week. So you may as well put yourself in a position to sort of be used by God. When Gloria retired from her job over at the hospital, and we were in need of a secretary, Gloria's computer skills were somewhere down here. But Gloria said, Pastor Rick, can I volunteer to help out? And even though she didn't have the skills I needed, she had the spirit and the attitude that I needed. And I'm like, if you got the spirit and the attitude, I can train you on the other spot. And Gloria's been our secretary now for about 10 years and doing an excellent job with it. Why? Because she was willing to do something for nothing to put herself in a place where God can come around and really use her. Now, Rebecca didn't know when she was volunteering to water these camels, that she was about to be offered a husband who was super duper rich. This guy was the Bill Gates of his time. Most of y'all would find a way to put up with Bill Gates as long as you knew you was going to be still having access to the money. I am not talking about you married women. I know you wouldn't leave your husbands for anything in the world. I'm talking about the single women at this point. All right. When Jesus talked about going the second mile, what he was talking about was back then, the Romans were in power. And the Roman soldiers marched all over the empire. And they did not have jeeps back then to haul them around. So when they were carrying their gear, their backpacks, the Romans could force anybody, they just called you, they could force you to carry their backpack for a mile. You did not have any reason for objection. They didn't care that you was going to pick up your son a little bit later or that you was going to be late for work. If they called you, you had to do it for a mile. Now, at the end of the mile, you could say, "That's it, Jake. Carry your own backpack. I'm out of here." And Jesus says, when the Roman soldier forces you to do this, here's how I want you to change the world. When you get to the end of the mile and he's laughing at you, offer to go another with him. So can you imagine the Roman, he's been laughing at you the whole time and he says, "Hey, Jack, you want to make it 2 miles? And you say, "You know, I think I would." And he's standing there speechless. "Are you serious? Yeah, let's go. What you waiting on?" He wants to know, "What's up with you? What's wrong with you?" He's probably almost scared thinking you got somebody on the other end waiting on him to come. But it's that shock treatment. You see, the first mile, you had no choice. The second mile, you doing this for Jesus. Them first 8 hours, you working on your job, you ought to be working hard because they paying you to work hard. Whatever you do above and beyond that, you're doing that for the Lord. You getting credit with God for that. You see, when we talk about living the Spirit-filled life, we're not talking about you so full of the Spirit that you down at Lake Erie just walking on the water. Whew. Look at me. That's not the Spirit, Spirit-filled life. By this time, that water is cold. The Spirit-filled life isn't you. I'm in right, up, right, down, right, out, right, happy all the time. It's a nice chorus, but that is not my experience as a Christian. The Spirit-filled life means God's Spirit is in you to do extraordinary things that are ordinary to everybody else. See, he gave Rebecca extraordinary strength to keep lifting that water up, coming over here, pouring it in there, going back, coming back over here, pouring it in there, going back. Okay? So when you're filled with God's Spirit, you receive power to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. You're able to say, "I'll water your camels too." God helps you to hang in there a little bit longer. You know, that's what God wants to do. Now, if you're going to live the above and beyond life, you can't live your life like a measuring rod where you're trying to make sure it's equal. Okay, he gave me a $5 Christmas gift. I'm going to give him a $5 Christmas gift. They forgot my birthday. I can just as easily forget what their birthday was. They didn't help me when I was down and out. Too bad they down and out now. That's not what Jesus wants us to be about in changing the world. Just think about it. If Jesus had have done only what he should have done for us, how many of you know he never would have made it to the cross? If you was Jesus and you know you like you know you, amen. I'm doing all this for you and you still gonna stab me in the back. Second, don't try to do great things for God before you do little things for God. You know, sometimes we need to humble ourselves to listen to people. Okay, there you are sitting on the bus, and you're trying to figure out, should I say something to him about this tract or not? Should I say something to him about this tract or not? Should I say something to him about this? Why don't you just say, hi. How's your day? What do you do? Okay, you don't have to get the person saved right then and there and have them speaking in tongues before the bus get to 105th Street. Chances are you're gonna run into them again before you say, God, give me another job because these people are driving me crazy. God might want you to love the people on this job before he moves you to the next job. God, if they're driving you crazy, whoever replaced you, they're gonna do the same thing. So God may have you there on a mission. Young people, you all really don't realize the power and the potential you have in changing other young people's lives. In every school, in every classroom, there is always one kid that gets picked on. There's always one kid that's sitting by themselves in the lunchroom. There's always one kid that everybody else got something smart to say. Why don't you go above and beyond that when you see that child, young person sitting by themselves, you go over there and sit with them. You start talking with them. You start standing up for them. You start checking those who are making comments about them. Because you don't know. That one may one day be the CEO of the company that all y'all want a job from. And I guarantee you, he or she is not going to forget your name for the rest of their lives. They remember so-and-so stood with me when nobody else would. That's how you make a difference in the world. When we go in through the clerk line or at the grocery store, do we take the time to make eye contact with the clerk and say, hi, how are you? Are we friendly when we go through the line? Because if we are, now 3 months later, when we give them a card, they smile and they say, thank you. Otherwise, we give them a card. What? You go to church? If you get that reaction, you have not been living for Jesus at the checkout line. Extra blessings come from extra effort. Okay? Extra blessings come from extra effort. You change the world when you decide to do above and beyond what was asked. When Rebecca got through filling up all them camels, that's when Eliezer the servant opened his box. Gold rings, gold bracelets, gold necklaces, gold earrings, earrings with precious stones. He says, now where is your mother? And where is your father? And where is your brother? Get them too. He got something for each one of them as well. And then he says, they ask him, well, who are you? And when they tell them who he is, they are distant relatives of Abraham. And he's like, God, you led me exactly where I was supposed to be. Now, most of us, if we had saw all that gold and them diamonds and that money up front, we would have been getting that water out of that creek and pouring it in like nobody's business. But most of the time, God doesn't show us what the reward is going to be until after we have done what we need to do. Jesus once told us, he says, you know, at the judgment, some of you are going to be saying, Lord, when did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? He says, whenever you do it for the least of these, you're doing it for me. There are things you've been doing for the least of these when you've gone above and beyond that you've been doing for Jesus. The other thing too, Rebecca's task was menial, it was boring, but she did it and she did it well. Whatever your job is, do your very best right where you are, because that just might be where God is really going to open up a big door for you. Don't lie to yourself and say you got to wait for a big moment before you decide to do something. I have people all the time telling me, Pastor Rick, if I ever win the lottery, I'm giving 50%. They lying. If you can't give what you do have out of your little bit, you can't give a lot out of a lot, because the Bible teaches the more money you get, the harder it becomes to let it go. Saints, we all have a choice. We can go through life just doing enough to get by, and we're going to miss out on all kinds of blessings that God had intended for us to have. Those of you who are parents, you know what it's like to have been planning on doing something special for your kids, and then you came home and you saw what they had done, what you had told them to do, and you said, ain't no way I'm giving them this now. God does the same thing with us. God be having these plans of how he wants to do this for us, he wants to do that for us, and we just settle for the first thing that come along. God got some husbands for some of y'all that y'all ain't never gonna see, because you settled for the first thing that came along. He looked good. She looked good. I'm telling you, every time I've had to pay a bill, there's never been a section. It usually says credit card, check, money order. Look good has never been one of the options for paying a bill. Never has. We miss out because we settle for far less, because we just want it to get by. Becoming and then some person and get the best that God intended for you to have in your life. Amen. Let's pray. God, forgive us when we forget that we are significant because you love us. Forgive us when we forget that you have a plan that is far better than anything we can concoct in our own minds and hearts. Forgive us, O Lord, when we are just plain lazy and don't want to do what you've called us to do. Turn us into a group of believers that are and then some believers, and then some husbands and wives, and then some parents and children, and then some teachers and students. Because God, you want us to excel for you in whatever area you've placed us in. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the hope that we have to always be able to start over afresh and anew. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior of their lives, show them that you love them, You've got a plan and a purpose for them. In Jesus' name, amen.